Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, here he is, back from a fresh photo.
Don't worry. I'm not going to tell you about it.
So how's it going, Mike?
Oh, it's pretty good. I thought it was supposed to be cool and cloudy and rainy and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what's going on, man.
Friday night and Saturday, 100% chance.
Good. How about Sunday?
Sunday.
No?
Chance of showers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I heard on some forecasts that it's supposed to rain all week, but I...
Well, there's a chance of showers throughout the week.
Well, that's good, I guess.
From a chance to showers likely. I don't know what that means.
I don't either, because it never happens. The likely goes away, and you go, where's the likely?
Yeah, it went to chance.
Yeah, right. Well, but I, you know, I hear the rain will fall in somewhere. I mean, like Florida, South Carolina,
Georgia.
Those
poor people.
Oh, I know. Man, some of those photos on TV.
Yeah.
All those, man. Total disaster. I don't want a hurricane ever. I don't believe in hurricanes.
No, floods are bad enough.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, the weather guessers, and you're included in this, the weather guessers are saying Friday through Sunday, so everybody jump up and down and rattle the clouds or do something. Let's get some rain dancing going or something. We sure need it, and I'm looking forward to the wet stuff for a whole host of reasons. And by the way, if you have a question about your landscape or your lawn or your garden or your trees or your pruning or your shrubs or whatever, any question about that stuff is fair game. And you can call 673-4464. We'll get you right on the air. You ask the question and I can give you an answer. And you'll have to judge whether it's correct or not. No, it'll be good. It'll
take
be
it good. Or leave it, huh?
Take it or leave it. I mean, it'll be good. Don't worry.
Yeah, it will be.
I won't lie to you.
Nah.
But at any rate, I'm looking forward to the wet stuff. I mean, gee whiz, you drive around Douglas County and almost looks like a desert in some places. You know, the grass is so brown and dry and shriveled, and a lot of the trees are, rather than turning red and fall colors and stuff, they're just kind of shriveling. The leaves are kind of shriveling and just turning brown and then dropping around.
Making a big mess.
Oh, yeah, that always happens every fall, you know, whether it's wet or dry. But the trees I have at the nursery that I've got planted in the ground out in the back area, they get irrigated occasionally. And so consequently, they're just beautiful, deep red, red colors. And they're really looking good. But, you know, my trees at home, for instance, which I never water, they're kind of colorful, but they're kind of brownish with crinkled, you know, and I know they're going to their fall thing, but had it been a little bit more moist rather than this long, prolonged dry spell, they would have had the real fall color. And, you know, it's just kind of, oh, man, where's my fall? Where is it?
It has fallen.
I think so. I'm looking forward to the wet stuff. And you know, number one, just think about this: any of these fires that are out there still going, maybe like in Oak Ridge, or you know, there's some other places that they're going. They're going to be at least calmed down, or maybe even some of them will be reduced if there's significant enough rainfall for a couple of days in a row, and it'll certainly give all the firefighting crews a break, because I know several people that have been doing this, like, 5 years now, but this year seems to be the super year of all. The fire started early, and they're continuing to today, and it's almost November, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, another week, and it's November, for crying out loud.
I knew it was, but I didn't think, about it.
They got these really cool things called calendars.
Yeah.
It's okay to look at them once in a while.
Yeah, and Google.
Yeah, and, well, I don't know about Google, but, you know. But another good thing for the rain is, watering our plants at the nursery will be halted for at least a day or two. Right now, I start to water early in the morning, and certain parts, and we're watering till, good 7 hours, 6 to 7 hours to water the whole nursery nonstop. Mm. And so I've got a good well. I've got two good wells there, but they're very low as well. And, normally this time of year, they're several feet higher than what they are right now. Mm.
Not good.
So that's going to help, the ranchers and rural people who actually have to depend on a well or a creek, a small creek or a spring or something like that. I've got probably, 6 to 7 springs scattered around my property, and every one of them is not flowing on the surface.
Wow.
The ground is still a little damp in places, but usually this time of year they're still more damp, I guess would be the same, because the water's moving underground, but normally they'll run on the surface for till June, sometimes even into the first part of July before they start to dry up. But this year they were drying up at May.
Oh, is that right?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. How many years in a row now have we had this less rainfall, less
extreme drought,
below average rainfall year. And this is
getting to where I can't remember.
See, you need a little rainfall on your head. Raindrops keep dropping on my head.
Bringing back memories.
I know, but number three about the rain is, as a community, we'll be not watering our yards all consistently and constantly, because sprinkler systems are still on for lawns and shrubs and things like that. And all we need is one good solid rainstorm for 2-3 days, and then you can cut the sprinklers off. And then when you cut the sprinklers off, your water bill is less, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
and everything is cooler, and everything, slides into dormancy until, next March, April, and we're better there. But and then the plants are very refreshed when they get natural rain. I mean, there's a cleansing goes on with just stuff that's falling out of the sky.
Ain't nothing like the real thing.
No, that's right. You said the right thing. Whatever thing that is. We've been so long without this rain this fall that even the native vegetation, that which is on the hills and things like that, it's pretty weak looking. And, there's stuff, again, instead of a nice fall color to the natural native trees and stuff that are on these, slopes and things that don't, there's not a reservoir of water around their root because everything drains downhill. So consequently, in a normal year, they look pretty good until September, October, and then they start to turn. But this year they turned early. Like 6 weeks ago they were turning, and they were turning not the brilliant colors. Some of the maples are in shadier areas, but like on Mount Nebo, those trees along the freeway right there.
They're exposed.
They're exposed, and they're shriveling, but that's their self-defense mechanism. They shut down, so they're not using any nutrition or really getting any more water from the soil. Mm-hmm. So consequently, they just shut down and say, hey, that's it for this year. We'll come back next year.
We'll wait.
We'll wait. And some of the younger ones, the seedlings, 6 foot, 8 foot trees that have, maybe they're 10 or 15 years old in like the oaks or the big leaf maples. Some of those have died simply because they don't have a root system that's mature enough to handle a prolonged drought like that.
Wow.
Whereas the bigger ones have got these massive root systems, so they're getting some moisture from somewhere. And staying alive even barely.
They got a backup system.
Yeah, they do have a backup system, but. And you look at the South Umpqua, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah, you can walk across.
Yeah, you can. And many, many more rocks than I've ever seen.
<That's> true.
I always count the rocks in the spring, say, the river's dropping, there's the rocks, Because when I come from my place, I come on Highway 42 past like Douglas High School, and you're right along the river there, so there are certain shelves of rocks. I know when the water is starting to go down, because all of a sudden, bingo, they start appearing.
Magic.
Magic. And you know, it's a good place to stand and fish, because there's deep holes right beside them. So one of my grandsons caught a pretty good-sized bass in there a few months back.
And, cool.
Yeah, and my son said, you could see hundreds of fish down in the deep part of that pool, but none of them were, only one bit. Only one went for a worm or whatever they were using for a lure.
There was one dumb one.
Yeah, I said, hey, man, there's a freebie. Let's go get it. Oh, gosh. But when we get this rain that's supposedly coming, it's going to be the type of weather pattern that's great for planting your trees and shrubs, and get the plants in the ground, and then you're going to have no care until next summer or, you know, late spring. Depends on our precipitation rate throughout November, December, January, February, and March, and maybe April, and there hopefully we'll get back up to at least the average, and that'll certainly keep that stuff going for you.
Well, if I figured this up right, between Friday night and Saturday night this coming weekend, we should get about an inch.
Well, that would certainly help. You know, I mean, an inch is significant, and you know, and some of these valleys where, like my where I live in my valley, the clouds come in, but they don't move back out very quickly because it's kind of a box canyon, and so the clouds kind of hang in there. So I get more rain than what you would do here in town, where they're flying right over to the top and headed for Diamond Lake or
the mountains,
right. Yeah. But the mountains slow that cloud movement down, so that there are certain places in Douglas County that get, you know, I listened to Kyle in the morning, and he said, well, at the airport we had, you know, 0.2 inches. Well, at my house I had 0.5 inches.
Yeah.
You know, so that's right, the difference. Right. I had like twice as much, as because at the airport it's wide open, and while it's raining, that's good, but the clouds are moving. Whereas at my place, they're not. Or if they are moving, it's very, very slow. So consequently, I get more precipitation there. So.
And your place is cooler in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Cold. It was cold this morning, man. And it's so foggy, I couldn't even see. I couldn't believe the fog. It was like just like a wall. And I thought, man, something wrong with my lights. And I had them on bright, and so I put them on dim, and that was a little bit better than I thought. My eyes, I was going blind, but no, I just couldn't see because of the fog.
You heard about that wreck up there, didn't you?
Where?
Up by exit 228, close to Albany, Sweet Home in between.
I heard a tail end of something like 65 cars
were
involved.
Yeah, 65 to 70 at last count.
What happened?
The fog.
Oh, this morning?
Yeah, this morning.
Oh, gosh.
As far as I know, the freeway is still closed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it was southbound, but maybe it was both. I don't know. I just heard people talking.
Well, you know, I had to go to Sutherland to a job at Umpqua Bank in Sutherland today, and it was still really foggy, and I'm doing like 60 to 65 on the freeway trying to keep my distance, and it's amazing how many people pass me at 75 miles an hour in the fog, and I'm thinking, are you guys nuts, or are you just see a lot better than me?
No, they're idiots.
Oh, wow.
I know it.
Whoa, I even had semis pass me. But wow. I was still, like I said, I was hoovering between a little over 60, maybe 64, somewhere in there, you know, and I got a big semi in front of me so I can see his tail lights. I mean, you couldn't see nothing, man. What time you get to work here?
Oh, 10:30, 11.
Oh, yeah, well, it was practically clear at that time.
It was clear by then,
At 6 in the morning, it wasn't.
Hey, we got to take a break.
Okay.
Thank you. More foggy conditions on the way.
Yes.
We'll clear them up.
Okay.
News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
B39 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, we were talking about the foggy conditions, but I think we're going to move on.
Good, good, because, you know, even the fog has moisture in it, so at least that's a little bit of a plus right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hadn't thought of it that way, but you're, yeah.
Well, you got to, you know, every once in a while, you got to flip that windshield wiper on so you can see through the fog.
That's, yeah. And then all that dust that's accumulated, you can't see.
Oh, yeah, it smears real good.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. But as I was saying in the earlier segment, this type of weather pattern really is great for planting trees and shrubs because it's not pouring rain on you. But since everything is going to be going into dormancy or has already entered into dormancy, there's not a lot of root activity that you have to worry about. And you dig your hole, you put your good soil in, and give it a good shot of water. Maybe if it's a tree, you put a couple of gallons of water right down into that by the stem there. And if it's a small shrub, maybe it's a half a gallon of water. Give it a good soak. And then if we have a normal, hopefully a normal precipitation throughout the fall, then they don't need any watering again until maybe next April, maybe May, you know, something like that. So, you know, you can do it. You can plant in the summer. You can plant in the spring and all that. But fall is the prime time. It's the premier time because everything is dormant or going dormant. And it doesn't... It's active, but, you know, let's say in May, there's 100% of root activity going on, whereas in right now, almost November, there's probably 5% or maybe 10% at the most, just barely keeping alive or maybe not even that. I've never been able to measure root activity, but but that's my...
Don't they have a machine for that yet?
Oh, I'm sure they do somewhere. But, and the other thing is, if you still have vegetables in your garden, harvest them now. Get them out. I was looking at my garden yesterday, and we still got potatoes growing. We haven't dug them up yet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and the bushes, the potato bush, the top looks really great. And I'm thinking, there must be 400 pounds of potatoes in there, you know, waiting to get dug up.
I bet they taste better than Idaho potatoes.
I think they do. They're McNabb Creek potatoes. But
100% local.
Amen. And like I say, get in your garden and harvest them now. And then after the harvest, you know, with the soil damp, you could do a quick cleanup. You know, even till it if you could. If it's not too wet, you could till it and prepare your plot for next year, or at least make sure you till it enough so that the weeds just don't pop up automatically and you have this gargantuan job to do next spring.
Right.
And if you keep on top of it that way, it's a whole lot easier. And then once it's tilled, put some fresh mulch or compost on top, maybe a couple of inches, and that will help to retard any weed seed that might be in your soil. And some of it may sprout, but it won't be this horrendous thing. You're going, wow, where did all those weeds come from? Well, if you kept your garden, see, we've gone to the raised garden beds, and they're so much easier to take care of. And you can grow a ton of stuff. We've been eating tomatoes every night for the last 6 weeks, you know.
Jeez, nice.
And zucchinis?
Oh, boy.
You know, you ever see a 2-foot-long zucchini that's 7 inches in diameter? Well,
I know it will.
Hey, come to my house. I'll show you some.
I'll show you a zucchini.
I said, well, shoot, why don't we just hollow that out and put some eyes and nose on it and call it a pumpkin?
And put a candle in it.
Put a candle in it, right. But that fall cleanup of your garden, the fall cleanup of your yard after all the leaves, the dried up leaves finally fall down, you know, get ahead of the game. And it's no fun when it's pouring rain for 3 solid weeks, which sometimes it has done in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, take advantage of this better weather, well, drier weather, and get out there and do an hour's worth every other day or something like that. In no time at all, you have the yard cleaned up. And when it does start raining, you're not going to have to get out there and fight the elements.
Mm-hmm.
Be smart about your yard maintenance in that respect. And you go, well, that's good. And so after you've got the fresh mulch on, I mean, if you are still mowing your lawn, Over the years, I've talked about making your own compost pile, and with your lawn clippings, your leaves that fall down in the or your neighbor's leaves that fall into your yard. don't yell at your neighbors. Clean them up and tell them thank you for the leaves and put them in your compost pile, because a year from now. A year from now, they're going to be breaking down, and every time you add a little bit more, and pretty soon you've got the best organic fertilizer and soil. You can't buy that stuff.
Yeah, money can't buy it.
No, you can't buy that stuff, and it will enhance your gardening experience in much produce and healthier produce, and you could use some commercial fertilizers if you like, but it wouldn't be necessary because the soil is so rich from you composting and adding mm-hmm. that compost. And mulch, bark mulch, people think, well, that's bad for the garden. It's not. It's chock full of some nutrition, and it breaks down fairly readily. And, you know, like I say, an inch or two in the winter, as the rain and the cold and even snow maybe breaks it down. And then when you till it in again next spring, you've just got a better organic mix to plant your vegetables in. It's real. You know, clay is chock full of nutrients, but like I've said hundreds of times in the past 20 years, it don't break down and it doesn't drain. But when you add this compost to it, it enriches. You get the best of both worlds.
There you go.
You get the clay, which is full of nutrition because it doesn't drain very well, and then you get the other composting material that breaks up with the clay and blends with the clay, and you got, like I say, the best of both worlds.
Two and two makes four.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, depending on who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what?
Oh, boy. Well, and again, any compost that you start, it's going to break down. It'll break down through the winter and enrich your soil, and it's a natural fertilizer. And if you did this every fall, say for 4 or 5 years, you'd be amazed at how much compost you would have, mm-hmm. and how greatly improved your garden soil would be. And then you can use it when you're planting shrubs or trees. You can use a couple of shovelfuls of that mixed with your regular soil, and that's just an added bonus to your landscape. It's good. So start one of those compost piles for future use. You won't be disappointed in the results if you're really a gardener out there, okay?
What's the word I'm thinking of? All organic.
Organic, yeah, organic. You know, sometimes it depends on the people that use the word organic as though it's almost a swear word, but it's not. It's good, and used in the proper way, it really is a good product to add to our soil. But there's some folks that pound the table and mm-hmm. you know, organic's the only way to go and blah 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 mm-hmm. blah. Well, yeah, yes and no, but it's
mix them together
and you got the best.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh,
now
gosh.
Politicians can learn that.
I don't think that's possible. Now, of course, as the leaves are falling off, it's a good time to take a critical look at your shrubs and trees to see if they need any pruning, because now you can actually see the stems, or you're starting to see the stems as the leaves drop off, not on evergreens so much, but on those that have leaves. And you can see, what do I need? How do I need to prune or shape this? I mean, it's so out of bounds, and it's so, you know, it's overgrown, or it's blocking the driveway, or it's blocking my my vision if I'm trying to come out of my driveway, and those kinds of things.
It's in the way.
Yeah, whack it back. It's okay. It'll respond well. And then when the leaves are off, you can see all the minute branches and small branches in there. Then it's an easier time to get in and thin too many branches. If you have too many branches, it's not the healthiest situation. Thin some of them out. Let some air circulate through there. Let some sunlight next year circulate through there, and you have less disease, less bugs, and those kinds of things because you thinned them out. The bugs and the disease love it when it's thick and shady and gloomy. I mean, they get in there and they start chomping on your rhododendrons or
Thanksgiving every day.
Yeah, exactly. Your roses are or whatever. And but you know, if you thinned out 30% or 40% or even 50% of the cross branches and branches that were too small or too insignificant, and cut back the tops, you have a much healthier shrub or even a small tree. Big trees, you do the same thing, but not as radically. And you know, those that get large, you see some of the larger trees here around Roseburg that never been pruned, and you look up and you see some of these big old branches that are, say, 8-10 inches in diameter, and they swing way out. They're not going up because there's no room to go up, because there's other branches going up from the trunk. But these, they stretch out toward the sun, and in time they get really long, and there's a lot of weight hanging out over the street. And you can drive around Roseburg in some of the older neighborhoods.
Like Laurelwood.
Laurelwood is a fine example of tree branches hanging over houses, roofs. You know, when one of those puppies break, it does some significant damage to your roof.
Yeah.
You know, this is the time when the leaves are going. You say, you take, like I say, take a critical look and say, man, you know, that's a possible hazard branch, or that's a possible hazard tree, might fall in the street. There's a lot of trees that folks plant on the edge of their lot that are fairly close to the street, you know, say within 10 feet of the street. And over time, as they get older and they're stretching maybe for the sun and they're leaning a little bit, if one of those comes crashing down and there's a car underneath parked, you know what's going to do to the car, or the even the house across the street, or the car across the street. And those are the things that you want to look at. And I know homeowners insurance and all that kind of covers that, but, you know, beat them to the punch. Get a tree surgeon out there.
we do
small trees, but these bigger trees, we put a sod lawn in a lady's backyard here a few weeks back, and it's beautiful. The problem is there's this giant maple tree. Well, there's a row of them, but there's one giant maple tree that's hanging directly over her backyard and gives her wonderful shade in the hot summer. But it's, 75 feet tall, probably.
Good heavens.
You know, 50 to 75 feet tall. And the spread is about 50 feet with the branch spread. And some of them are hanging over her yard, just like I described.
Yeah.
And here's this brand new sod lawn and brand new sprinkler system and all that. And we told her before I left, I says, you know, you need to call so-and-so or so-and-so and really take a lot of those side branches out and take the top down about 10 or 15 feet and, you know, let them do the work. And so she did. She took my advice.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So she's good for, you know, another 20 years.
20 years.
You know, so that's how it is. We got a break?
Yeah, only if cars would last 20 years.
Yeah, right.
All right, we'll be right back. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Please call with your questions.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we got to talk and let the music bed fade out.
Well, the music faded, huh?
It's 30.
Oh, well. Okay, 673-4464 if you have a question about anything I'm talking about or anything I'm not talking about. How's that?
There you go.
That's a pretty wide range of subject matter.
Yeah, change the topic if necessary. Huh?
Yeah. But as I was talking in the last segment about pruning, and I just want to make a point here that it also, like I probably said it, but I'll say it again, the pruning, it just allows better air circulation, which means better health, and sunlight penetration, which means better health, because bugs and diseases and fungus and all that kind of stuff doesn't like air and sun. They like damp, shady, dark places.
That's all that nasty stuff.
Yeah, that's where they do their best work. So
sounds. Well, never mind.
You know, So, and just remember, pruning does not help the plants. It makes them better. You can shape them into any shape you want. Nice. You can do some radical pruning on some of your evergreens, like junipers, that are just kind of growing in just a big blob of green or whatever color juniper you have, and you can make them into kind of a bonsai look or a sculptured look. And you know, you maybe if you've never done it before, you just do a little bit and stand back and look at it for a few days and then maybe do a little bit more. And as you drive around, you can see examples of these kinds of things in other places, yards or business landscapes. Mm-hmm. And make something interesting out of it. And then once you've done that first major pruning, it's easy to keep it that way for forever and ever and ever. Like a lot of people have dwarf Mugo pines that they let grow and they let grow, and pretty soon the candles and the needles are all up on the top, and it's kind of bare on the bottom, mm-hmm. and they're 6 feet tall. And some of the landscape jobs that we've done, or maintenance, or just overhaul the yard, I talked to them about, hey, I can prune that up, and in a few years, it's going to really look exotic if you follow through on what I do. And they said, yeah, well, let's see what it looks like and do one for them. And when it's all said and done, like maybe there was 100 branches in it when you started and there's only 20 when I'm done. But they're the crooked ones, the misshaped ones.
Oh,
you know, kind of exotic looking.
The neat looking ones.
Yeah, right. And they go, wow, that really looks good. Yeah. And then I show them, you know, this is what you do in the spring when the candles, if they're a pine, the candles come out, and then you just break the candle off with your finger and leave maybe an inch of candle, and it fills out. And then the more it fills out, you know, the better it looks, and then you only have to do minor pruning to keep it that way. You know, it won't work on that nasty shrub that you got in your yard that grows 2 feet a day. But
I planted it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I think she's going to live.
Oh, good. It's good. Don't water it. Leave it alone. See, it'll live not because of you, but in spite of you. Yeah, right. Oh, gosh. But junipers are a great thing to prune. You know, oftentimes, and, you know, everybody does it. I did this. First time I did some planting of junipers in my yard in my old house in Roseburg, I put them about 4 feet apart and said, well, that looks cute. But they were, you know, small 1 gallon pots. Well, 3 years later, they were just this huge bunch of green stuff, you know.
Oh, geez.
But if you prune them and keep them small, they look a whole lot better. They're a lot more decorative, and they're not scratching your car, or mm-hmm. they're not climbing on your porch, or going up the wall of your house, or the fence, or something like that.
Competing with everything.
Yeah, exactly. but you keep them in bounds, and they look great at the same time. So don't be afraid to prune. You do not hurt them. They just grow better. They grow stronger. The trunks get thicker and more aged looking, and you know, I had a a dwarf Mugo pine that I got in a nursery up in Eugene one day, and there was a semi that had run over it. It was in a gallon can, the semi truck ran over it because he was unloading plants at this nursery, and the nursery guy threw it to the side, and it was laying over there with a pile of other ones. And I looked at it and I thought, wow, what a perfect potential bonsai. And I says, hey, Jim, I says, how much is this plant that got run over? He says, just take it, get it out of here. I'm going to put the other ones on the burn pile. I can't do anything with them. Well, I think that was he had too much to take care of, and he didn't want to mess with it. So I took it home, and I started pruning it a little bit. And 2 years later, it looked really, you know, where it had, the trunk had split, the center trunk had split. I just taped it together. With just, you know, regular tape. And within a year, it all healed up. But when I took the tape off, it was bumpy and kind of grindy and looking really old. And so I did that to a few more branches, and pretty soon it looked like it was 100 years old. and then I wouldn't let it grow up. I pruned it. Anything that went up, I pruned off and let the side growth go.
Oh.
So I had it for, 10, 15 years. I can't remember. And then we had it at our nursery, and I, you know, some people loved it, and and they were all tempted to buy it, so I kept raising the price and raising the price. So I put $125,000 on it. and nobody bought it, but somebody stole it. I came in one day, and it was gone, baby. They left the pot. They just pulled out
the
plant.
Just the whole plant.
Yeah, the pot was probably a $50, $60 bonsai pot, real bonsai pot.
Worth more than the plant.
Almost, but they pulled it out, and I thought, one of those...
Idiots.
Yeah, that's a good word. And so I kind of drove along the Highway 40, Highway 99 there, looking maybe they picked it up and then threw it in the ditch, and I was hoping I could have found it in the ditch. I could revive it.
Yeah.
But that was my first really cool bonsai, too.
Oh.
I was really proud of it.
Never saw it again.
Never saw it again. But I made a lot more, so don't worry about that. You know.
It's probably still living somewhere.
Yeah, it might be. I might go down some podunk road one of these days and go, wow, that's my plant.
Somewhere in L.A.
Yeah. But prune anything back to the size you want, and it's going to grow, and keep it small and keep it easy and manageable so it doesn't overgrow your spot that you put it in. Because like I said early on in 250,000 shows, that most folks that have never landscaped usually put too many plants too close together in their yard because they're small when they buy them, and they don't know what the potential growth is going to be. So
yeah.
It's okay. Prune them. Get them down.
Well, they'll never get that big.
Oh, no, they'll never get that big. Right. But if you've never been to a Japanese garden, there's a really good one up in Portland, above the Portland Zoo in that area. It's really, really beautiful. I mean, it has exquisite stuff. And if you ever are in Portland area and you go to the Japanese gardens, and they got this beautiful trail that goes all the way through it, you'll see what I'm talking about. And you'll see plants that, they look like they're thousands of years old. They're not, but they look like it simply because of the pruning and keeping them dwarfed where the trunks get really big and gnarly. And then, it looks good. And that'll give you an idea. Or you can even drive around Roseburg and see some of it, in somebody's yard, too. So, But like I say, once the major pruning is done, it's easy to keep it that way. As the major pruning is the longest, hardest thing to do, especially if you've never done it before. But give it a shot. You can't hurt it. It'll be okay.
It'll keep growing one way or the other.
Oh, yes, it will. It will. So with winter coming, I'll tell you what, I keep saying that, in a positive way. It's coming. But anyway, this is a good time to think about if you need some more garden tools or equipment or anything like that. Time to go shopping at some of these places looking for mowers or chainsaws or pruners or shovels or whatever. Because, prices are a little less as you go into November and December and January than they are in the spring. In the spring, the price of these items simply go up about 10 or 20% or whatever. So if you want a tool shop, now's the time to start looking around. And there's, what's this one down here on the corner? Oregon Tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Oregon Tool.
Oregon Tool and Supply.
And they got a lot of good stuff in there.
They're good people, too.
Yeah, they are. Old Milo, he's
oh, yeah.
He's really something else. But even at the box stores out there, Lowe's and Home Depot, especially them, they'll have a tool sale just to kind of move the old stuff because they got a spring order coming, and it's going to be a higher price, and maybe they want to move some of the older stuff where the handles are a little discolored or maybe banged up a little bit, things like that. You can make a good deal in getting those kinds of things. And like I say, they sometimes in the middle of December they'll put them on sale and see what happens. We got a call?
No, we got to take a break.
Oh, we got a break. Okay.
And some are probably even made in China.
Could be.
We'll be back. What's our phone number, by the way, there, Mike?
673-4464 if you have a question.
There you go. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, I hate that when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep.
No, I know. Probably because I fall asleep about 8 o'clock at night or 8:30
at night.
That
could have a lot to do with it, yeah.
I sit in my big comfortable chair and my wife's got the TV on, like the FBI program or something.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it. And next thing I know, she's saying, hey, time to go to bed. And I'm, what do you mean? I'm watching a program. She said, it was over 2 hours ago.
It's done. It's over.
It's over. Yeah, dummy, go to bed. Anyway, we're talking about pruning. We're talking about all kinds of things here. And with winter coming on also, believe it or not, it's a good time, well, I said in the last segment, for the tools and equipment. But, you know, when you go down there and take a look at mowers and stuff this time of year, you know, there's not too many mower sales. So, consequently, they might give you a deal. They might be, I can knock $100 off or I can knock $50 off.
Mm-hmm.
And when you buy a mower this time of year, it's the demand isn't there. So, consequently, they've got, you know, a few left over. But, you know, they're waiting for that new spring shipment, and those new spring mowers are going to be considerably more expensive.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you ain't going to get no break. You know, they're going to say, okay, that's it. Because they got to get rid of the old ones to make room for the new ones. That's simple as that.
Yep, and the old supply chain.
Yep, yeah, if it's still working.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's got a little just kink in its link.
Yeah, I know. Gosh. Yeah, the price is better in December than it is in April. Yeah, I've had a wood stove now on order for 2 months. It's still not here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, because my old one finally burned that sucker up.
Oh, I can't imagine that.
I mean, I cook that sucker every night, boy. I come home and it's been raining all day.
Yeah.
And I'm cold and I'm wet. And I get my cup of coffee and my chair is right next to the stove. And it's
nice.
Got a little blower there.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife says, it's hot in here. I says, not for me, it ain't.
I'm still chilled to the bone.
Yeah, I am chilled, yeah. So another idea here, of course, is fall fertilizing. You know, some people don't think about fall fertilization, but if you get a slow-released fertilizer and you do your shrubs, your lawns, your trees, it's good. One thing about fertilizer, if it's a slow release, when water hits it and it releases some of the chemicals in the fertilizer, it doesn't release all of them. It's a slow process. So if you, say, fertilize it the 1st of November, it'll probably be the end of December before all that fertilizer gets down into the root systems. And surprisingly enough, the root systems have shut down, so they're not accepting any more fertilizer because they're dormant. But it's sitting there, and as spring rolls around and the ground warms up and those root systems become alive, bingo. They got something to eat right off the bat.
Yeah, they're hungry. Hangry.
They're hungry, and they start using that fertilizer that's been there. So fall fertilization is a good thing, and it works on shrubs, it works on trees, it works on lawns the same way, because those root systems just don't suck it up just because it's there. They know when to do it and how to do it and all that. They know a lot more than we do.
But hey, it's their body.
I know. But it's a good thing. And you don't do a heavy batch. You're just doing kind of a maintenance type of fertilizer. Let's say that if you had a lawn and you usually use two bags of lawn food on it in the spring. Well, this time of year, you might use 3/4 of one bag.
A little booster.
Just a snack. You know, think of it that way. They're not going to, because as it gets colder, they're not going to grow as much. And,
sure.
But they'll certainly be greener. And so as you go into the spring and they're ready to pop and they get that warm weather, they're ready to go, man. And they're good. It's green. It's lush. And it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start mowing and mowing. Why did I fertilize that? I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have listened to Winters.
I won't listen to him next time.
No, I'm not going to do it. But, you know, half-strength fertilizer, you know, you'll see the benefits and the pluses of that because you're not going to be fertilizing again till like maybe the following mid-March or something.
Oh, okay.
At which time this other stuff is just starting to kick in, and if you fertilize in mid-March or say first part of April, it's another say month before that new fertilizer actually gets down into the root systems and activates, and the plant is then growing very quickly, and it's sucking up all the nutrition that it can from the soil. And you wonder, well, how did that tree grow 4 feet in 1 month? I don't know. I shouldn't have fertilized it like that guy on the radio said. But so when, how much time I got here?
About a minute.
Well, this will probably be part of next week's thing, but if you can remember, when buying fertilizer, it's important to buy good quality stuff, you know, well-balanced fertilizer. You know, you can find the on-sale stuff all over, especially in some box stores. It's a brand name you never heard of, but it's pretty much inadequate. It's okay, but it's inadequate for the money you spend on the cheap stuff. You'll get more bang for a buck when you get the good stuff and pay a few more bucks for it.
Get the right stuff.
So thanks for listening. I hope you learned something. I hope I made sense, and see you next week.
All right. Where are you located in Winston, Mike?
Well, right now we're located just south of Winston on Highway 99. Look for the big green roofs, and you'll see us.
All right.
Okay.
See you next time.
Thank you.